An introduction to giving effective feedback. Why give feedback to a learner? Providing your learner with a worthwhile training experience involves giving them learning opportunities. Many of those learning opportunities involve the application of knowledge, skills, and behaviors. Feedback is integral for developing your learner's competence and confidence and forms a crucial part of assessing and reviewing progress. It is therefore important that supervisors develop their skills at giving effective feedback. So what is feedback? Giving feedback is about providing information about performance or behaviour with the intention that it will lead to action to affirm or develop that performance or behaviour. But what are the issues that may arise when giving feedback? In today's healthcare education settings, many clinical situations involve the integration of knowledge, skills and behaviours in complex and often stressful environments. With time and service pressures on both supervisors and learners, there are a number of issues that may arise when giving feedback. These include: feedback is often regarded as an intervention to be made when there are problems in performance. Some may use it as a means of showing their approval or disapproval. This is not the intention of feedback. Also, feedback, if given in the wrong way, can result in damage to performance and decreased morale. Feedback is not a one-way communication where you tell the learner what you think. It's a two-way communication, a developmental dialogue with the process leading to appropriate action that improves performance. And feedback that involves personal criticism or is patronising and making assumptions and blaming. There are a number of barriers to giving feedback or factors which make giving feedback counterproductive. So let's explore some of the barriers to giving effective feedback. These can include the learner being defensive or resisting feedback, fear of upsetting the learner or damaging the learner-supervisor relationship. Corrective feedback can be difficult to communicate, especially in the presence of patients or colleagues in a busy work environment. Inconsistent feedback from multiple sources. A lack of appreciation of feedback given. A fear of demoralizing the learner or giving too much feedback. Feedback being too general and not related to specific facts or observations. Feedback does not include guidance for improvement. This is where we reflect back on what we learnt in Module 1 about creating the right learning environment. If learners are aware of what they should expect from supervisors, most of these barriers won't exist. Mutual respect should exist for feedback to be received. If feedback is not given, a learner will not know what areas they will need to improve or develop in. Good performance will not be reinforced and poor performance will remain uncorrected. This can lead to the learner assuming that they actually do not need to improve and they will have to learn by trial and error at the patient's expense. In your reflection log for Activity 1, think about when you are giving feedback or receiving it. Note down what you think acts as a barrier. In Module 1, we introduced you to the competency model. Here, we will illustrate how feedback can be built into everyday practice to help your learner move through the stages in the competency model. The first stage is the unconsciously incompetent. When the learner is unconsciously incompetent, they have a very low level of competence and are unaware of what they are doing wrong. This is often the level at the start of a training year. Feedback at this stage helps the learner recognize weakness, identify areas for development, and become conscious of incompetence. Then they move into conscious incompetence. Here the learner is aware of their failings, but does not have the skills to correct them. More experienced learners may start their training at this level. Feedback at this stage helps the learner to develop and refine their skills through demonstrating skills, refining good practice and competence. The next stage is conscious competence. Here, the learner demonstrates competence, but skills are not fully embedded or integrated into everyday practice. This is the stage that a learner should be at towards the end of their training. Feedback at this stage helps the learner to develop and refine skills, reinforces good practice and competence through positive, regular feedback. The final stage is unconscious competence. This means the learner carries out tasks without conscious thought, as skills are internalized and routine. Feedback to raise awareness of detail and unpack processes for more advanced learning. To give adequate feedback, it's important to recognize the difference between informal and formal feedback. What is informal feedback? Informal feedback should be given on a day-to-day basis in relation to specific events. For example, well done, your counselling for Mr. F was very appropriate. In your reflection log for activity 2, can you think of any opportunities for giving informal feedback to learners on a day-to-day basis? What's formal feedback? Formal feedback is usually planned as part of an appraisal or a performance review and occurs episodically. If ongoing feedback has been carried out regularly, then the formal feedback sessions, which are carried out within a progress review, should not contain any surprises for the learners. And that's an introduction to giving effective feedback.